Well, we've been talking about venetoclax. Let's hear about a patient who got it. You have this 66-year-old lady. I guess she was initially diagnosed in 2007. You started treating her in 2010. She's gotten a bunch of things. What happened at the point at which she got venetoclax?
Yeah, so she had been on ibrutinib actually for 5 years, has very high-risk CLL, 17p deletion, complex karyotype, IGHV unmutated, progressed on ibrutinib. We had been doing the assay. We knew she developed a resistance mutation. At the time, we didn't have any clinical trials that were specifically addressing that population. So we waited until she clinically relapsed on ibrutinib and then started her on venetoclax. Generally, if I'm doing this outside of a clinical trial, if I'm changing from ibrutinib to venetoclax, I continue the ibrutinib through the dose escalation of venetoclax. And then often I stop at that point and then just continue on with the venetoclax. So this woman did very well with the venetoclax dose escalation, has been on the drug for about 2 years and is doing well. She's had some intermittent issues with neutropenia and some thrombocytopenia as well.
So when you initially started the venetoclax, what was her white count, her tumor situation in terms of nodes, and how did you approach TLS prevention in her?
Yeah, so because I knew that she was going to relapse, I didn't wait until she was high TLS risk before I switched her. So I think her white count was probably only in the teens, and she has some abdominal lymph nodes that were, a little bit bigger, like 3 or 4 centimeters, but certainly still fell into that low intermediate risk for venetoclax tumor lysis risk. So I treated her outpatient. I did the conventional stepwise dose escalation over the course of 5 weeks. I think in somebody who has a fairly minimal disease burden, who is not relapsing very quickly, it's pretty easy to make that transition and to still do like the 5-week escalation.